Amen. We started this a couple of weeks ago, and but because of the time that's passed, just to bring us to a good starting point, want to go to Genesis 1. Say distractions, distractions, distractions. I so love having a personal valet. Thank you, Oni. I still love having a personal valet who happens to be my wife. Maybe want to take something and put it out of order again so you can come back. See, even your wife can be a distraction if you allow it. Genesis 1, beginning of verse 26 in the New Living Translation, says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us." I love this translation. Let us make human beings in our image, and it tells us why to be like us. God's intention was for man to be exactly like them. What do you mean them? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He says, they will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. When I read that, folks, I can't help but think about all the people that are afraid of bugs, mice, you know, all of these creatures. It specifically says all the wild animals. We have dominion. Now, I'm not saying you go to the zoo and walk into the lion cage. But I am saying if you should be on safari and one lion confronts you, you better remember you have dominion. So God created human beings in his own image. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Everyone saying govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Verse 29. Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. So God, in addition to making us to be exactly like him, supplied us with everything we would ever need. He said, I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that is what happened. So this translation is telling us this is what God said, and this is what happened. Exactly what God said. That has not changed. Things will still happen exactly as God said. God did what he said. He made human beings in his image. He made human beings in his image. So he made us to look like him and to act like him. He made us to look like him and he made us to act like him. Why? Because all of creation recognizes him. And he gave the authority to us.
Yes, sir.
And in order for us to operate in that authority, we have to look like him and act like him. The problem we're having is that believers are not looking and acting like God. And creation can't tell the difference. They're saying they're supposed to be God, but they're not acting like a God. I would never say that. Look at how they're acting. The God that created us would never do that. I'm not listening to them. They're not going to get me in trouble with the Creator. I remember I had a friend before I knew what a real friend was. And he would do we both had similar rules from our parents. And he'd always try and get me to do things outside of the rules. But then he never got called to go to the mulberry tree and pick a switch. I hated mulberry trees. And this tree was strong. I tried chopping it, drilling holes in it, doing everything I could do to make this tree die, and it just wouldn't die. And then you have to sweep up those mulberries that fall off. And if you don't do that right, you got to pick a switch. But it kept me alive. Yes, there were other ways to do it. But as I shared with you earlier, Psalm 8, for time's sake, we'll just go down to verse 4. No, we'll start at verse 3. Look at the splendor of your skies. This is the Passion Translation of Psalm 8. Your creative genius glowing in the heavens. When I gaze at your moon and your stars mounted like jewels in their settings, I know you are the fascinating artist who fashioned it all. But when I look up and see such wonder and workmanship above, I have to ask you this question. Compared to all this cosmic glory, why would you bother with puny mortal men or be infatuated with Adam's sons? Yet, listen to this, folks. What honor you have given to men, created only a little lower than Elohim, crowned like kings and queens with glory and magnificence. You have delegated to them mastery over all you have made, making everything subservient to their authority, placing earth itself under the feet of your image bearers. Who are his image bearers? We are. And everything has been placed under our feet. All the created order and every living thing of the sky, the earth, sky, and sea, the wildest beasts and all the sea creatures, everything is in submission to Adam's sons. God designed us, folks, so that everything would be in submission to us, to his man. And let me make something clear. In Ezekiel 28, it tells us that Satan was created. I don't know if you realize that. Satan is a created being. Satan is a work of God's hands. He has given us authority over all the works of his hands. Anything that God made has to bow in submission to his creation. Us. That's the way he set it up, folks. So we were made to reflect the Godhead in looks, speech, and works. We have authority over every created being. So we, to understand the magnitude of that, since we have dominion over everything created, we also have dominion and authority over anything they could cook up. Look at Isaiah 54. And I use the term cook up because that's what the Message Bible says the three Hebrew boys said to Nebuchadnezzar. That our God can deliver us from the fiery furnace or anything else you can cook up. But one thing that's not going to be cooked up is us. You may have barbecued guards, but you're not going to have... In Isaiah 54, verse 16 and 17, voice translation, Isaiah told us, I've created the blacksmith who readies the fire and forges weapons for wars, and I have created the destroyer to ravage and ruin. Listen to this. But no instrument forged against you will be allowed to hurt you. No voice raised to condemn you will successfully prosecute you. See, we get upset, we get distracted because things happen. And it's they're making me go to court. So, Bible didn't say you'd never get called to court. Bible says they won't be able to prosecute you. We get upset because you're in a fight. And the enemy's shooting weapons at you. God never said no weapon will ever be shot at you. He said no weapon made will be allowed to hurt you. There's a difference. The weapons are going to come. And they're going to come hard. And they may come a great many. But not one of them will be allowed to harm you. Not one. You need to know that, because if you don't know that, you won't go into all the world. Because you'll be afraid of some parts of the world. What are you afraid of? Oh, the people there are wild. Oh, the animals are wild. God said he gave you dominion over all the wild animals. Over everything that moves across the earth. Everything. Well, I'm not experiencing that. That's because you're not doing it. You'll see a wild animal and you'll go another way. But if we understand that, as I said before, doing the Great Commission is no big deal. You'll just go wherever God sends you. And he told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he told them the signs that would follow. He told them that. And the Bible says that the disciples went everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Confirming the word with signs following, not signs leading. With signs following. But something had to happen in order for the signs to follow. The disciples had to do what Jesus said. They had to lay hands on the sick. They had to cast out devils. Everything they did proved Jesus was right. Everything. So if we have any doubts going through our minds, it's because we have not proven individually Jesus is right. God is right. So what's the problem? The problem is this. Distract means to draw or direct something, such as someone's attention, to a different object or in a different direction, sometimes at the same time. Why does it happen at the same time? To get you confused. I thought I was supposed to go this way, but when I look over here, I don't see any provisions. I don't see this. I don't see that. But it looks good over here. And after all, I'm a child of the king, and he wouldn't want me to live like that. Well, you're partially right. He wouldn't want you to live like that, but he's going to provide for you. See, the problem is you don't want to live on manna. You want a T-bone or a porterhouse. Some onion rings. Nice green salad. And cheesecake. He said, yeah, now if God fed me like that, you'd be too full and you'd go to sleep and you still wouldn't go. But a distraction is something that distracts. It's an object that takes your attention away from one thing and places it on something else. The problem is that we've allowed ourselves, folks, to become distracted, and it's resulting in us being off course, unsure, and have misplaced priorities and have even become scared of what? Of what's going on in the world. Scared. Let me give you an example, very basic, Genesis 12, the story of Abram before he became Abraham. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I will show you. So God wanted Abram to separate himself from anything and everything except him. And Abram's first mistake is he didn't do that. He took Lot with him, a relative. But he said, get away from thy kindred and go to a land that I will show thee. Listen to what he says after that. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And this is important, folks. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, in order for all this to happen, Abram had to go as God directed. God has spoken some things to all of you, but it's contingent on you moving the way God has directed. Amen. I mean, we talked a lot about revival, and you mentioned revival, and everyone goes, yeah, revival, and they want to get all wild and scream and jump up and down, and all that's wonderful. But if you don't, it starts with obedience to what God said. So Abraham departed as the Lord spoken to him, not quite. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So why do you think you're too old to be used by God to do something different? He started with Abram when Abram was 75. So Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the place of Moriah, and the Canaanite was then there in the land. And the Lord, because Abram is still on the right path, said, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, unto thy seed I will give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And as he removed from thence to a mountain on the east of Bethel, he pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed going on still towards the south. Why do you think he was still going toward the south? That's the direction God told him to go. And there was a famine in the land. And Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Abram got distracted by the famine. He got distracted. He's going along, everything's fine, plenty of food. All of a sudden, zippo. Now they're getting hungry. And looking around, I don't see any food. And he looks south, looks like a dust bowl. But over in Egypt, look how green that is. Everybody stop. We going to Egypt. Now, one person said, but God said, go in this direction. Then we rationalize. God wouldn't want us to starve out here in the wilderness. What would it look like? We tell everyone we're going to do what God said and we end up dead. That's just stupid. They have food in Egypt, so we'll go to Egypt. You know why God never mentioned the famine? He never told them, go to a place I'll show you, but now just be mindful you're going to hit a famine along the way. You know why God didn't mention it? The same reason why he doesn't always tell us every detail that's going to happen. He tells us what we need to know. What did Abram need to know? He needed to know, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. He said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. How's that going to happen if he's dead on his way because of a famine? He should have known if God said, you're going to be a blessing. Well, how can you be a blessing if you're dead? So God would have had to take care of the famine. If God told me to go to the place that he would show me, he had to know there was going to be a famine. So why do I care? When God gives you directions, he already takes into consideration everything you're going to experience. That's why he told us, my grace is sufficient. So you can keep going, you can keep doing what I've told you to do and not get distracted. Because when you get distracted, you're going to stop. When you get distracted, you're going to do something else. You're going to do something that makes sense to your logic and not to God's wisdom. You need to understand that. The Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles 12 that the children of Issachar were men that had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. That means they knew the times they were in and they knew what they had to do as Israelites. I've told you this before. We're the children of God. We need to know the times we're in and what we're supposed to be doing about that as Christians. Not as men, not as women, not as black, not as white, not as Republican, not as Democrat, as Christians. That should be our focus. God, these are the times. What is it that you want me to do? And he'll tell you, my directive hasn't changed. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs will follow. The only signs the people are going to see have to be strapped to our back as we're running away. Why? Because there's a plague in the land. There's unrest in the land. And unlike Abram, God did tell us that. We'll get to that in a minute. But we, as Christians, we should be, as the church, over which the gates of hell shall not prevail, we should be right in the middle of doing everything God told us to do. Everything. We can't pick and choose. People say, and I'm not making fun of anybody, but I am making fun of a situation. Oh, I'm not led to go over there. Oh, really? Go into all the world and preach the gospel except over there. No. You need to go over there. Why? Because that's where God sent you. And where he sent you, that's where you need to go. And it should not matter what's going on around you. And when you think about it, folks, how do you know what's going on around you? How do you think you know? You're looking at it. You're meditating on it. You're studying it. I know. I did that concerning prostate cancer. I did it worse concerning high blood pressure. Well, both of them, I knew all the stats. I knew all of those illnesses. I knew about all of their victories. I knew. I knew the percentages of people that survived and didn't. And one outweighed the other. And you sit there trying to be cool, and your sweat is falling down your face, and inside you keep saying, you're not saying, with the stripes of Jesus Christ, I'm healed. You're like, I got cancer. I got cancer running through my body. Well, my blood pressure was this number. And you look at all these people, they had they stroked out and their numbers weren't that high. Distractions. I didn't read one scripture that said, with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I was healed. I was too busy reading about the enemy. And God said to me, what did you do when you were playing basketball? I'm like, what does basketball have to do with this? He said, how often did you look up the stats of the team you were playing? I said, I never did. He said, why not? It didn't matter. Because I felt as long as I did what the coach said, we'd be fine. He said, exactly. That's all he said, exactly. And he left it for me to figure out. How am I going to give my coach more respect than God? So I had to do Hebrews 12. Amplified Bible. Therefore, first two verses, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight. Unnecessary weight. That means there's going to be some weight, but we don't have to carry around unnecessary weight. We can handle a necessary weight. And that sin, see, that's why he took care of that this morning. Folks are carrying around that sin, that excess baggage. That sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us, let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Now that's the easy part. Here's the part where folks have a problem. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. Looking away. Sometimes distractions look good. One of the things that I realized If the day after Thanksgiving, not even the day after, after you've had three helpings of Thanksgiving dinner and dessert, and you sit down and you say, I believe the Lord is calling me to fast starting tomorrow, you immediately become hungry. Well, if I'm going to fast tomorrow, I better eat some more food tonight. No, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief and is also the finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame. He didn't say shame's not going to come. He says you have to despise it. You have to ignore it. And is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This also lets us know if you don't despise and ignore the shame, you won't make it. Because you won't deem yourself as being worthy. It does not say God will take away the distraction. You pray and really believe, and God will remove the distraction. He already told us what to do about distractions. Look away. As my wife would say, protect those eye gates. Look away from all that will distract. Oh, I was reviewing some notes last night, and I had always had my phone there because Pastor Ed and I can have some conversations at 1:30 in the morning. You know, because we're both looking at notes, and he'll say, Pastor Greg, I just found this. I'll go, Pastor Ed, turn to the scriptures. So I leave my phone there. News flashes come on my phone. A news flash came up. Coach K makes his 13th appearance in the Final Four. And I'm sitting there, Duke won? And I picked up my phone and I was like, distraction. Just like I'm ready to pull up the article and read. I want to know the score. I want to know what happened. I want to know all these things. And I put the phone down and said, you're a distraction. Just like that. So there's nothing wrong with, no, all distractions are not sinful and evil, but the distractions come in many forms. It's still a distraction. If I'm in the middle of studying and my son calls and says, hey, Dad, I just wanted to tell you that I love you, that's a distraction. And I tell him, son, can't talk now. I'm in the middle of preparing for Sunday. Oh, I'm sorry, Dad, I forgot it was Saturday. It was a distraction. So we need to be mindful of distractions because the purpose of the distraction is to take your mind off what you're supposed to be doing and put it somewhere else. Yes. Again, it doesn't... Well, look at 2 Timothy because I saw something in there. 2 Timothy 2, Passion Translation, verse 4. And again, I've shared this on a number of occasions. For every soldier called to active duty must divorce himself from the distractions of this world so that he may fully satisfy the one who chose him. It doesn't say that God will separate you from the distractions. It says you must divorce yourself from the distractions. And it also says something else. Or I should say it implies on first something else. If you don't divorce yourself from distractions, you'll never fully satisfy God. Never. Why? Because when he tells you to do something, while you're doing it, you get distracted. And when you're distracted, you stop doing what he said. And he's not going to be satisfied if you... Some people say, well, if you get 60% of what you want, it's good. Not with God. What's acceptable to God? 100%. Why? Because he gives himself 100%. And if that's what he gives us, that's what he has the right to get back. Now, we learned, like I said, we learned a lot about revival last week. One of the things we learned is that in order for revival takes place, when the roots of the church sink deep into the community. Well, if you're distracted, if you're not aware of where your roots are sinking, you can find yourself with misplaced priorities or stuck in the wrong place. And not just stuck, rooted in a distraction. We had church members rooted in a distraction for years. It's God's word, not black lives, that matter. It's God's word. And you can't call me a racist because, hi, Nana, I'm black. But we've had roots sunk into that. Well, what rolls from that? Cancel culture. Division. Strife. Separation. Hatred. Why? Roots were planted. Because folks got distracted. Yes. How'd they get distracted? It looked good and it sounded good. And we bought into it. We bought into it. Families separated. Yes. A lot of people were defriended. Or became the butt of conversations on social media. Why? We let our roots sink deeply into the distractions. When if we want revival, we want our roots to sink deeply into the community. We want the roots of our knowledge of who we are in Christ to sink deeply into the community. We want our roots yes, to grow signs, wonders, miracles yes, yes. in the community. Yes, sir. That's only going to happen if we don't allow ourselves to be distracted from being who we are as the church. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
Glory. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Glory. Yes. Glory to God. Yes.
When Abram decided to go to Egypt, as he got closer, he started becoming afraid. They're going to kill me and take my wife. Then why don't you turn around and go back to what God told you? Instead, he lied. He prepared a sham. Justify it. He was a half-sister. She was rather a half-sister. And he went with it. But God wouldn't allow. Remember he said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper? God wouldn't allow Abram to be harmed. As a matter of fact, because God was going to make sure that what he said would happen, Abraham left Egypt with more than he went into Egypt with. Yes, sir. But he carried a distraction out with him and didn't realize it. That distraction had a name, Hagar. Yes. And his roots went to Hagar. And now we have Ishmael. Now we have the seed of controversy in the Middle East because Abram got distracted. Yes, sir. got distracted. Since 2009, there have been political issues. There have been social issues as far back as I can remember. We've had pandemics. We've had choices to make. Do you vaccine or no vaccine? Have family separate. They're having a family reunion. But in order to attend, you have to be vaccinated. Why? Distracted. How do we get distracted? We were bombarded with all of this information and decide and pick the side. We didn't go and say, God, what do you want me to do about this? Because I believe he would have said, my instructions to you haven't changed. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, sir. And these signs will follow them that believe. But we made some of us made some different choices. What? Because we got distracted. Do I wear a mask or not wear a mask? Do I go to church or do I stay home? After all, God created technology, so he must have known this was going to happen, so he made it so I could sit home and watch service. Yeah, but see, when you come into the house, that's where you receive the life-changing oil flowing. Oil flows from in the house to the inhabitants of the house. Oil doesn't flow from the house to online. It's like that Superman episode where they were transposing people across telephone lines. I even saw a commercial where there's a concern about long COVID. But short COVID wasn't enough. Now there's long COVID. And a new variant just came out. And a new vaccine, a new booster shot just came out. So think about what's happening. Things start to quiet down. Then comes back up again. You're like, oh yeah, that's right. Oh yeah, that's right. And I'm not, this isn't to suggest to anybody that you should be vaccinated or shouldn't be vaccinated. This is boldly and clearly stating God has a purpose and plan for your life, and before you do anything, you should check with him. If he says get vaccinated, get vaccinated. How can a Christian be against medicine and wear glasses? That's a creation of man, and take off your glasses. Well, I can't. I can't drive if I don't wear glasses. Then wear your glasses. If you were a missionary going into certain countries, there are a series of vaccinations you must have to go. Nobody's complained about that. So it's not the vaccination, it's the distraction caused by it that takes people off course. If God tells me to go to a certain country, and as a requirement to go to the country, I have to get a vaccination, I'm going to obey God. He knew the requirements of that country before he told me to go. But that's what I mean when I say we have to put our trust in God. We have to let our roots grow where they're supposed to grow so that the tree can bear the fruit it was designed to bear. Amen. I got to tell you this. Y'all keep pulling different stuff out of me. I got to tell you this. Matthew 24. I tried to get to this 2 weeks ago. So I'm over time. Thank you for that. Matthew 24, starting with verse 3, Passion Translation. Later, when they arrived at the Mount of Olives, his disciples came privately to where he was sitting and said, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what supernatural signs should we expect to signal your coming and the completion of this age?" Jesus answered, "At that time, deception will run rampant. So beware that you're not fooled." So he already told us, be mindful about what you give your attention to, because deception, untruths are going to run rampant, and I don't want you to be fooled. "For many will appear on the scene claiming my authority or saying about themselves, 'I am God's anointed,' and they will lead many astray." They fall under the category of false prophets, false teachers. How do I know? Because you'll see ads. Only $19.99, get your bottle of Miracle Spring Water. I haven't found any scripture that said, "You shall sprinkle miracle water on them and they shall be healed." I haven't found any scripture that said, "Go buy a prayer cloth, put it on their pillow, and they'll be healed." Now, I know that can happen, but it's not a marketing strategy. You need to stop watching late night TV. "For many will say, 'I am God's anointed,' and they will lead many astray. You will hear of wars nearby. Because of this age that we're in and the propulsion systems that have been created and discovered, a war anywhere is a war nearby. Because missiles have tremendous range. But it says, don't panic or give in to your fears. For the breaking apart of the world's systems, plural, is destined to happen. But it won't yet be the end. It will still be unfolding. Nations will go to war against each other and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be terrible earthquakes, seismic events of epic proportion, horrible epidemics, and famines in place after place. This is how the first contractions of birth pangs of the New Age will begin. You can expect to be persecuted." They're persecuting me. You can expect it. "Even killed. For you'll be hated by all nations because of your love for me. Then many will stop following me and fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. And many lying prophets will arise, deceiving multitudes and leading them away from the path of truth. And there will be such an increase of sin." The government has actually legalized sin. They've legalized it. "There will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold." Verse 24, "But keep your hope to the end, and you will experience life and deliverance." So it doesn't matter all this stuff is happening. We keep remembering who we are in Christ, and we'll always have life and deliverance. It's that simple. It's just that simple. And I love verse 24. "Yet through it all, this joyful assurance of the realm of heaven's kingdom will be proclaimed all over the world, providing every nation with a demonstration of the reality of God." In the midst of the wars and the rumors of wars and all the other stuff that's going to happen, The church is still going to be providing the world a glimpse, a demonstration of the reality of God. How are they going to do that? They're going to lay hands on the sick and they recover. They're going to cast out devils. They're going to speak in new tongues. That's how. And you can't do that if you're distracted, folks. You see what's going on. And your attitude needs to be, doesn't change who I am. Doesn't change what I'm supposed to do. Even if I were to legally change my last name, I still have the characteristics of my father. I'll still look in the mirror and see my father. Why? Because I'll still have, I can call myself whomever I want. The DNA is not going to change. You said, Jesus, come into my heart. And he said, okay. You said, Jesus, you're Lord over my life. He said, okay. Now you want to look at a different life. Jesus didn't say, I'm snuffing out your light, and I'm going to go find someone else who really loves me. No, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear or dread what man can do to me. And I won't get distracted. And my roots will sink where they're supposed to sink. Yes, and I'll always be aware of what direction they're growing. Yes, because I recognize the distraction. And I say, no, I'm not going for it. Jesus told me to love one another the same way he loves me. And that's what I'm going to do. And he didn't mention political parties or color or neighborhoods or anything else. He said, a new commandment I give you. Yes. Love one another. Yes. That's what he said.
Yes, sir.
And he sent you to a place.
Yes.
Where the love of God is evident.
Yes.
Where his word is being taught, where his spirit is directing, and his power, the demonstration of the reality of God, is in manifestation. That's what's going to cause revival. That's what's going to change the world. That's what's going to make things right. But if we get distracted, we'll stop doing those things. We'll start believing a lie. And start living a lie. You are, we are, who God said we are in the very beginning. We are made in his image and after his likeness. I know it's late, but I got to tell you this. Because I don't wait 2 weeks to get it to you. I want to read it. I'm just going to read it, so I'll get through it quickly. What do you think will be a demonstration of the reality of God? Revival. Going into all the world, preaching the gospel with all of the signs following and all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation. Now I was thinking about how one can avoid becoming distracted. How can you be distracted if you have the habit of laying hands on the sick and that you're getting healed? How can you have the habit of casting out devils and be dismayed about anything? How can you have the habit of praying for all who are in authority that we live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty and be distracted? How can you have the habit of speaking to the mountains and the mountain responds by moving and be distracted? How can you be distracted or deceived by lying prophets and others when you have the habit of constant communication with Christ and you know his voice?
Yeah.
You know his voice. Abraham panicked because he didn't expect to encounter a very bad famine. He didn't understand that God's instructions already took that into consideration. We have specific words from God, a resurrected Savior, and the Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth. We have the name of Jesus, which is above any name that is named. How can we justify being distracted? How can we justify taking worldly positions? How can we not bring people into our house where the oil is freely flowing? Everyone say, no more distractions.
No more distractions.
Do you mean that?
Yes.
Romans 12. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. The Passion Translation says, beloved friends, what should our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred, living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Take a breath. Verse 2. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. The Weymouth Translation. I plead with you, therefore, brethren, by the compassions of God, to present all your faculties to him as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to him. This with you will be an act of reasonable worship. Take another deep breath. And do not follow the customs of the present age, but be transformed by the entire renewal of your minds, so that you may learn by experience.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes.
Learn by experience.
Yes, yes.
Experience doing what? Laying hands on the sick, preaching the gospel to every creature, casting out devils, seeing, just like the 70 came back and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to your name. How did they find that out? By experience. They did what he said, and they got the results he said. So that you may learn by experience what God's will is. That will which is good and beautiful and perfect.
Amen.
Good and beautiful and perfect. There's one characteristic of an undistracted believer that must be present if we're going to bring about revival. It has to. If it's not there, nothing else will work. It's a mindset. It's an attitude. It's a position. It's a stand that one takes. And those of you online, we'll be back in about 5 minutes. But Dan, would you play that song, please? I need everybody to stand. Because this is what it's all about. Romans 1:16, the Passion Translation says, I refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message of God's liberating power unleashed in us through Christ. For I am thrilled to preach that everyone who believes is saved. The Jew first, then people everywhere. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because we're not ashamed, we'll never be distracted. As Pastor Clinton wrote, we're going to focus our eyes on Jesus and direct our attention to him. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and every bit of the praise. Thank you, Lord, for revealing to us the missing ingredient, revealing to us the cause of why we're in the condition we're in. We've allowed ourselves to become distracted. Even though our purpose may have been good and genuine, it was still a distraction because it took us away from doing what you told us to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature with signs following. Signs following. And all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in full manifestation. Father, let the signs, the wonders, the miracles, let them flow. Let them flow through each of us. They don't need a special title. They already have one, believer. These signs shall follow those that believe. So all of them that are believers, signs will be flowing through them. Right now, in Jesus' name, I curse the spirit of fear. There's no place for fear in the life of a believer. I curse the spirit of hesitancy. In Jesus' name. When God speaks, we're going to move. We're going to move. We're going to be accurate representatives of the image and likeness of our Father. And we don't care what it costs. Because we read that quote that said, there's no price too great to have the proper image. So whatever we need to do personally or as a family of believers, we are willing to do so that you always have the proper image. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Everyone say, no more distractions.
No more distractions.
I'm going to be aware,
of
where my roots are. Did you mean that?
Yes.
Well, the only way we can do that is we make sure that we have received the Christ as our Savior. And once we do that, allow him to be Lord of our life. Don't just be satisfied with being saved. Allow Jesus to be Lord of your life. Well, what does that mean? That means you check with him before you do anything. 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 Yes, God may have blessed you and made a way for you to become highly educated. It's not to replace his wisdom. So stop trying to reason things out. Stop trying to rationalize things out. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is say, Father, what would you have me do? That's what I eventually said. You told me I had blood clots. Father, what do you want me to do about what they just said? That's what I told him. He had the nerve to tell me to let them do what they want. They want to stick a needle in my stomach. You know what my father did? He laughed. And then I laughed. He said, but every waking moment, you say, according to Deuteronomy, all sickness and disease is a curse of the law. Jesus Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Blood clots are a curse of the law. Jesus Christ has redeemed me from blood clots, therefore my lungs are clear. He said, every waking moment. So every waking moment, that's what I said. When a specialist came in and examined me and went back and looked at the film, he said, I don't understand. I don't know why you're here. I looked at the film. Your lungs are clear. Fear wouldn't have done that. Anxiety would not have done that. Fear and anxiety would have distracted me from the truth. Before I was formed in my mother's womb, he knew all about me. That means he knew I was going to get this diagnosis at that age in my life. And he called me anyway. That means he must have a plan for it. So my responsibility was to find out his plan. Because I have to hope that the doctor knows what they're doing. I don't have to hope that God knows. I know that he knows. And you can't get that kind of understanding unless you have received the Christ as your personal Savior. So I'm going to ask everybody to make this confession. You folks out online, thank you for your patience with us today. But that's another reason why if you're in anywhere within the local area, you need to get into the house and let the oil flow all over you. You can see some things online, but you can't experience some things online. And we want you to get the experience because that's what's going to stick with you. So we want to just make this confession because the word says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So say, Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he went to hell in my place. I also believe that after 3 days, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn to you and I ask you, come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you, and I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, friend, if you made that confession and you believed it, according to the Bible, you just got born again. And we would just like to welcome you into the family of God and get some free information into your hands just to explain the born-again experience so you know who you are in Christ and what you now have available to you. And the best way for us to do that is for us to send you with a couple of our deacons to a place where they'll give you that free information. I'm not going to try and get you to join the church. That's something that you and God can work out. If this is where he wants you, we're glad to have you. But it's important that we get that information to you online. If you use the contact us information, tell us, I prayed that prayer with Pastor Greg. I'm born again. Please send me information. We will send it. If you have any questions, you can contact us. Use the information. You can ask to speak to me. If you can't get me, which you probably won't on the day you call, but I will return your call. You have my word. I will return your call. And even if you're not new convert, if you're an old convert, no, seriously, but if you have a question about anything that I shared, contact me. I'll get back to you. I promise I will get back to you. It won't be, probably won't be the same day as I said earlier, but I will get back to you. Amen.